Dear colleagues and friends, welcome to the monthly briefing of Geneva Internet Platform. We are particularly honored today to have with us Minister Rudy Antara, Minister of Telecommunication and ICT of Indonesia, who will be inaugurating today Indonesian GIP hub in Jakarta. As you know, during the last briefing, we had the Rio hub joining from Rio. We have now Jakarta today, and we'll be hearing later on from the minister and colleagues in Jakarta and also Rio. We have also online participants, more than 100 registrations, and we have our colleagues who are participating here in situ in Geneva. Therefore, we have four communities joining this monthly briefing. As you know, the main purpose of monthly briefing is to provide summary of the main developments in internet governance and digital policy on last Tuesday in the month at 1 o'clock Central European time. All of us are overwhelmed with information and data on cyber issues. We got news almost on hourly, definitely daily basis, and there is a need to have once a month to step back, to reflect, and to put all of those developments in a broader context. And this is the main purpose of our monthly briefing. You probably received a barometer. Barometer is a visual presentation of the level of the pressure in the digital policy, seeing how different issues are going higher or lower when it comes to their relevance in global media and public policy spheres. We will start now with about 15 to 20 minutes presentation of the major developments during the previous month, month of February. This month is rather shorter because last Tuesday in the month comes a bit early on 23rd. Therefore, we'll miss next 5 or 6 days, but we'll provide also regular update on that. We'll start with the summary presentation, and then we will hear from Jakarta, from Minister Rudy Antara and other colleagues in Jakarta about Asian perspective, Asia-Pacific perspective on digital policy developments, and also from Rio about developments in Americas, and in particular in Latin America. After that, we'll open the floor for discussion and questions from online community. Arvin is a colleague who will be helping me with the operation of the slides. Here is the list of the events, major events since the beginning of the month, and we will not go through this list. You can consult it on the website. But as you can see, although the February is rather short, we have only 23 days, there were quite a few developments. You can see the barometer. Next, Arvin. And here are highlights from our barometer. The first highlight is a controversy that surrounds the Apple FBI case in the United States. As you know, over the last 7 days, this issue has been in the focus on the global policy community with quite high media visibility. Exactly what's happened is that US court asked Apple to assist FBI in unlocking an iPhone of one of the terrorists who participated in a San Bernardino terrorist attack. That request from the US court triggered the response by the Apple's CEO, who basically wrote an open letter to authorities and to all internet users, indicating that it could be a beginning of the new era, basically in digital policy, and stating the risk that this request by FBI could create a backdoor for the access to data of Apple and later on other companies. As you will see, we will be analyzing this in more details, and you will be receiving from us follow-up analysis of this information. There is still unclear situation if the FBI ask for access to that specific mobile or ask for the opening of the back door, as it was claimed by Apple's CEO. Apple was supported strongly by other internet industry companies, Google, Facebook. Microsoft sent a mixed signal. There is a strong support from a civil society community, especially pro-human rights actors. Therefore, this issue is going to remain high on the policy agenda because it comes to one of the core questions of encryption and protection of data. Next, Arvin. It is directly linked to the question of privacy and human rights, because the access through the backdoor could endanger the question of privacy, as Apple's CEO linked this request to the protection of privacy. In the field of human rights, apart from this Apple FBI dynamics, there was a major development of right to be forgotten, where Google decided to extend the rules to its global site accessed within the Europe. As you know, the ruling of European Court of Justice requested Google to delink some websites according to rules to be forgotten, but only for Google subsidiaries in Europe, Google Spain, Google France. Now it is extended for any Google website accessed from Europe, and it is relatively low profile by major development. Next, I will. The third major issue, in addition to security, data protection and privacy, is the question of net neutrality and decision of the Indian Telecom Regulatory Authority in favor of net neutrality and basically blocking Facebook's free basic service in this country. For those of you who are new to this field, Facebook started offering free basic service, which essentially provides users in the underserved territories with access to the internet, but limited access to the internet. Therefore, they get it free of charge, but they get only access to, obviously, Facebook service, Wikipedia, and few other internet services. As you know, this is the breach of the principle of net neutrality, which argues that when you are on the internet, you can access any resource on any service. And again, it raised a lot of this debate, especially in India. There was one petition signed by 1 million people against in protection of net neutrality. And this is the major ruling of India Telecom Regulation Authority in favor of net neutrality, which with probably broader impact in Africa and other regions than where free basics is introduced. Those were the three major developments. Next, Arvin. There were a few developments in the field of the economics, especially US Senate votes on legislation that puts a permanent ban on states and local government taxes of internet access, European Central Bank discussion on the transfer of money and bitcoins. Therefore, there are more and more dynamism in this field, in e-commerce and internet economy. Next. Now, those of you who have been following our briefings and our crystal ball exercise for 2016, we indicated that probably the major dynamism in digital policy will be in this triangle between internet users, between state and business. And what is currently happening in Apple FBI case is exactly dynamics and interplay between state and business, where FBI requested from the private company, from Apple, access to data of their users. That dynamics will be increasingly important in digital policy, and it is going probably to mark many digital policy discussions this year. Next. It is also seen in the another perspective as interplay between security, development and economy, and human rights. And those of you who are active in Geneva know that this is becoming increasingly important issue. What is discussed in the field of security in UN government group of experts, in the OSCE, in other bodies. What is discussed in the Human Rights Council, especially on the questions like data protection and privacy, freedom of expression, and of course the question of development and economy, and discussions in the WTO, World Trade Organization, on e-commerce and related issues. Next. In addition to these three major developments around security, human rights, and business, there are also other developments related to global internet governance architecture. A GSMA report on a new regulatory framework for the digital ecosystem. As you know, the GSMA represents mobile industry. They have now the major event in Barcelona. And this question on the regulatory issues, they had a slightly different approach than the rest of the internet industry, because their main constituency is a mobile industry. For example, they are not as strong on the question of net neutrality, because it can endanger a business model of some mobile providers. If I suggest that you carefully follow what this document, consult this document and see what are the major developments. When it comes to the mobile provider's perspective on digital policy and internet governance. Next. Sustainable development has not been as prominent as it was at the end of the last year, and there is probably a bit of fatigue because it was in a focus during the preparation for September UN General Assembly and World Summit on Information Society. But one quiet development in conceptualization, I'm sorry, I didn't expect that, is a question of a development of so-called indicators, which are basically feature prominently, where digital issues or digital aspects are featuring prominently in the way how we will follow the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Next. We have the question of the infrastructure and a study by Cisco predicting a considerable increase in the adoption of mobile technology and also research of Internet of Things, major development from Microsoft in testing whether the data centers can operate below the surface of the ocean. I guess that is probably of interest for our friends in Indonesia, which is a country with quite a bit of sea between the islands. Therefore, we'll be hearing from Indonesia about this reflection on the Microsoft and possibility of having data centers under the ocean. Next. Jurisdiction and the legal issue has been prominent throughout the 2015, and it continues now. One of the important decisions is the decision of the French court that ruled that Facebook can be sued in French courts, despite of terms of services stating that the jurisdiction lies in California. As you know, when we sign, when we press accept, we accept the jurisdiction in California. But now in this case, French court ruled that in spite of our agreement to have the jurisdiction of the Californian court, the court cases related to use of Facebook could be initiated in France. Next. Then we have a question of IANA transition. ICANN has been relatively low profile, which I guess is a good news for ICANN, because it has been in the focus for a long time. The main news is that new CEO for ICANN, Goran Marbi, is appointed. He's a former director general of the Swedish Post and Telecom Authorities. And I guess we'll be here later on, but the first non-US citizens to be the CEO of ICANN, which is also symbolic move when it comes to the transition of ICANN. No, I just got the indication from Andrashel is second. It's Paul Tvomi was the first one. Okay, thank you, Andrashel. And here is the list of the main events in March ahead of us. We'll have Internet Research Fair in Amsterdam. It's an interesting concept at the Amsterdam University College. We'll gather the students and professors to discuss how they can do research, write their thesis, doctoral and master thesis, on the impact of the Internet on society. There will be posters on Internet and anthropology, philosophy, sociology, law, and other issues. There will be obviously important the Human Rights Council meeting, 31st session in Geneva, and if I'm correct, we can expect the report on the data protection and privacy, first report by special rapporteur. Then there will be major events, ICANN 55th meeting in Marrakesh. There will be a RightsCon Silicon Valley meeting at the end of March, beginning of April. You can go through the detail list, but those are main developments that we should put on the radar for 2016, for the March 2016. Next. Okay, this is more or less a zoom out view of the main developments during the previous months and some indication about the developments ahead of us. This is now time to pass the floor to our colleagues in Jakarta. And I would like to invite Minister Rudiantara to join us with a reflections of perspective from Indonesia and the Asia Pacific. I would like, Minister, to thank you personally for your support for this initiative and the initiating multi-stakeholder discussion in Indonesia on the occasion of monthly briefing, which is going, if I'm correct, going to be the permanent feature, shifting from your ministry to other actors involved in digital policy in Indonesia. The floor is yours, and then we'll hear from Marilia and our colleagues in Rio.
Good evening, Jovan from Jakarta. Before giving to the minister, let me introduce for a while the Jakarta Hub is in behind me. It consists of multi stakeholders in Jakarta, actually, from academia, from the business sector, from the civil society, and government, of course, in this regard, from the Minister of Communication, Information and Technology, which he presents some points. Diantara, please.
Good evening, everyone in Jakarta, and I do believe good afternoon in your side, Dr. Jovan. Thank you very much for making this event happen to all of us. And we have very good and very clear picture here. Even though we are using internet, we are saving a lot of money not using the clear channel, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, let me share with you from a practical point of view what have been done by the Ministry of ICT in Indonesia here, as well as with its stakeholders, including the CSO, including the Internet Association. I think a lot of stakeholders participate in performing what we call is the governance, how I going to the governance the internet in the country. When we talk on how to govern the internet, we are focusing on the content. It's not on the technology itself. Last week I was in Silicon Valley. I had a very interesting discussions with Mark Zuckerberg, particularly with regard of the internet.org with the net neutrality. Now probably I can spend another 20 minutes on it, but I will not share right now because I want to focus on the how this country govern the internet, particularly in managing the content. You know, when I joined this ministry, actually the ministers has a full authorizations with regard into managing the content, whether we want to let the content as it is or we want extremely to block it, you know. After I discussed with some of my colleagues, our stakeholders basically here, it comes to our decision that is not the way we govern the internet, particularly the content. We have to establish some sort of better governance. Yeah? What is better governance? Number one is there must be some sort of fairness treatment. Second, more transparent process. The third one is accountability. It has to be a clear on the accountability. Are we there yet? I don't think that we are there yet. You know? So that's why I'm not happy with even existing governance we have in this country. Not happy doesn't mean that this is not good, you know, but we are not good enough. It is expressions not happy that we want to have much better governance process in the country. Last year, I think sometime April, we formed what we call is the panels. What is the functions of the panel? Panel is consists of the prominent persons in the country. It's not only representing the government, not only representing particular people, but as much as possible representing the whole stakeholders. Now, we learned that after we established five panels, yeah, that's addressing the different issues, that one thing that we come across to my mind right now, how can we improve this governance by doing what? Number one is reviewing the process we had in place right now. Is the existing process is the best process we had, knowing that the dynamic of the content itself. Second, probably for the lack of the better words, probably I'm not using the words of audit, but in the substance, we have to perform evaluations, or we call it audit. How are you going to do that? Even I'm thinking of appointing the third party who are considered as independent. They don't have the direct interest into the any stakeholders in the panel itself. That is the directions of the ministry with regard how I going to govern and keep governing the internet in the sense of the managing the content itself. I wish that before mid of the year, this year, before June, that we already able to perform some sort of evaluations from the existing process, because we have to again keep up with the dynamic. Speed is important, in dealing with the dynamic of the content itself. We are not able to control the content, but we have to be able to manage the content itself. Why? Because we have to protect our own people from some content which is not fit with the country. Probably in other part of the world, some contents are legal and basically legal, which is gambling, pornographic. Because in some other part of the world, gambling or pornographic is industry by itself. But here in Indonesia, it's against with the law in Indonesia. And how are we going to manage this one is really a challenge, And to me, or to us, the key success factor of having this kind of panels is, number one, depend on the process. Second, depend on the persons who are involved in this panel. Probably we have a very good representative or the prominent person representing some groups or interests, but if they don't have any passions, if they don't have any dedications into the running in the panel itself, I don't think that we will have a very good outcome from the panel. I think by this, Dr. Jovan, I would like to, I'm not saying that to conclude, but at least I would like to hand over back to you in order to have for us some Q&A session, if I'm mistaken. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for the summary of one of very interesting ways of addressing the question of the content management, which is done in Indonesia in a multi-stakeholder way by having a panel which is advising a minister about the question of the content policy. As far as I know, it's quite unique approach globally, and we are particularly proud that we just heard the minister from you the reflections on the way how the panel functions, because in international community, in internet community, somehow the Indonesian success and Indonesian digital policy story is not well known. We know a lot about other countries, and we'll hear later on about from our colleagues from Rio about Brazil and their way of managing IG. But I think we can learn a lot from Indonesia, because it is democracy. It is a country with a very vibrant and dynamic digital scene, country which has to deal with the numerous contradictions of and tensions of the modern society. Once more, congratulations from Geneva, and you have a strong support, and we'll you can count on us as a way of sharing the story about Indonesia and your challenges and successes. Could we have our colleagues from Rio, or they disconnected just? We can hear the messages, Emanuele, from online community. Could you just let us know? You will need mic, I guess.
Yeah, in the online community, we had an interesting discussion about the comparison between the Egypt and India situation, and also from Tunisia, and about the use of voice on internet protocols and such as Skype, that is now technically illegal in Egypt, and so recently blocked the access to Skype. And we are discussing about the reasons. So someone told that it's just financial reasons and not other reasons. So what we can discuss a bit more here. And also the telecommunication regulatory authority in India recently had an open house discussion on this issue of net neutrality, which saw a huge participation from telecom operators and stakeholders. So this is an interesting point of view. So if we can just go further in this way.
We'll go to Rio, Marilia, and Luca. It's great to see you. Could you give us a few reflections of another dynamic and vibrant digital economy on the other side of the globe, Brazil? So we move from Jakarta to Rio. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ruben. Good morning, Emanuele. Thank you for the to all the colleagues in Geneva. I hope that you can hear me well, but please interrupt me anytime if you cannot. We had some connectivity issues, unfortunately, this morning. My name is Marília Maciel. I am a researcher and coordinator of the Center for Technology and Society in FGV in Brazil, and we are very happy to connect with you from the Rio Hub for the second time this month. This month we will follow a slightly different dynamics since daylight saving is over in Brazil, although summer is not and it's very hot here. It will be too early for us to connect to our local hub before we connect with you. So we are going to connect with you in Geneva, and then when we finish talking to you, we will have our local hub meeting. There are more than 30 individuals and organizations from Brazil that will connect with us. We have received in advance the themes that they believe should be brought forth to you. We have received themes not only from Brazil, but from other countries in Latin America. And since it is the end of summer, it's also the time in which our Congress starts to be more active in the national scenario. Carnival has also passed here in Brazil. So there are several regulations that touch upon the internet that are being discussed in Congress today. One of them is related to copyright reform. Brazil is undergoing a process of copyright reform since 2010. Our law is very strict when it comes to limitations and exceptions, particularly with regards to limitations that would allow educational uses of protected works. And Brazil is trying to redress this situation. It's interesting because the country has been very active in the World Intellectual Property Organization as one of the developing countries that has pushed for more international limitations, that has pushed for a development agenda. So it's interesting that we are nationally trying to align our national law to this international proactivity. So one of the changes that happened some months ago is that our collecting society now is more heavily controlled by the Ministry of Culture, and the process of sharing resources that come from copyright protected works that circulate online, such as music, has become much more dynamic. And the next step in this copyright reform will be to discuss how to better share the revenues of copyright protected works when it comes to online platforms. So copyright, thinking about our barometer, is definitely a theme that is going up here. It has also been touched upon by our friends in Peru, who have pointed out the connection between copyright and the discussion of the TPP. So copyright is definitely a subject that is gaining speed and attention in Latin America. But copyright is not the only theme. Network neutrality, as always, is a hot topic for us, and it's being discussed in Congress right now.
Yes, good morning to everyone. I'm Luca Belli, I'm a researcher here at FGV. I'm the coordinator of internet governance at FGV. And I will speak about the current very hot debate of the Marco Civil regulation. So as you know, there is currently a consultation going on here in Brazil on how to specify some core elements of the Marco Civil, particularly with regard to net neutrality and data protection. And the consultation will end on the 29th of February. So it's currently a very hotly debated issue. Some of the first approach and first hints on how this consultation will evolve have already been shared by several stakeholders. In the draft bill, the Ministry of Justice interestingly suggested that net neutrality provisions will not apply to specialized services without defining what are specialized services. So this is a core element that is going to be discussed over the next days. And interestingly, over the past days, there was an announcement made by the three main ISPs of the countries saying that they will set some data caps for fixed network. So they will have some download limit in fixed network, and this, from a comparative perspective, reminds a little bit the strategy that was attempted in Germany at the end of 2013, beginning of 2014, by Deutsche Telekom, that tried to define some data caps for fixed network. But the reaction was quite different. Indeed, at that time in Germany, the regulator suggested that such strategy would have been dangerous for the interests of the consumers, whereas here in Brazil, the regulator, Anatel, has welcomed the definition of data caps for fixed network as something that will enhance consumer welfare. And this strange and curious announcement, seen from a network neutrality perspective, I'm sure that will bring some further and heated discussion here in Brazil. Net neutrality is not only a very heated topic and debate here in Brazil, but it's also quite hotly debated in our neighboring countries. And one example is Peru. We have received a policy brief from our friends of Hiperderecho, which is an NGO in Lima, and they told us that the regulator is currently elaborating a regulation to specify net neutrality provisions, and one of the hot topics is, not surprisingly, the compatibility or not of zero rating plans, and particularly of Facebook free basic plan with net neutrality provisions. Another hot topic that will be discussed and is currently discussed is data retention and data protection, not only here in Brazil, but again in Peru. The government released some first document explaining the potential benefits of the decree, the data retention decree that was adopted, that is also defined the stalker law, because it allows the retention of data, personal data and logs for up to 3 years, and also the geolocation of any device of any person that is considered as suspect of a crime. So both net neutrality and data retention, data protection, keep on being the main issues debated here in Brazil and Latin America, and I'm sure that we will keep on talking about this in the next monthly briefing.
Just to finish, on an international and bilateral level, the dialogue that Brazil has established with the US in the end of last year, and more recently, last week with France and yesterday with Germany, the bilateral dialogues have included privacy and data protection as key issues for bilateral dialogue and cooperation. So it's certainly also a very hot and important issue when it comes to bilateral conversations that Brazil has. So we believe that this proactivity that Brazil has showed in the UN will continue in the months to come. So thank you very much, and over to you, Jürgen.
Thank you. Thank you, Marília and Luca. And we really got a very interesting and comprehensive survey of what's going on in Brazil and in Latin America. And what was interesting to notice is the dynamism of net neutrality, which has been the trademark of Brazilian IG discussion, but also discussion on copyright. And the last issue which you mentioned is that these bilateral consultations, which in digital diplomacy are taking more and more space. And what I heard from the Brazilian-German consultation is that it's interesting because it is government to government. There were 8 or 9 departments on both sides meeting, not only Ministry of Foreign Affairs or Ministry of ICT, but also economic, security, socio-cultural and other ministries. And it is probably a new pattern of exchanges between countries in digital diplomacy. What we have noticed from reflections from Jakarta and Rio is that although internet is a global, we access internet as a unified resource so far, to cross the fingers, there are different local perspectives. In Jakarta, the focus is on the content, on finding innovative way to manage the content. In Brazil, the focus is more on the question of net neutrality, emerging issues like copyright and development. And probably this, south-to-south link and exchanges of the views and approaches could be an interesting way of facilitating further networking through this initiative of the monthly briefings. We just heard from Rio that there will be consultations following our global summary and regional discussion. Therefore, the idea of the monthly briefing is to start with the global perspective, have the regional perspective, and then continue with the local discussion. I guess in Brazil, Marília and Luca, you will have online exchange with the colleagues. In Jakarta, we have the kind hospitality of the minister at the Ministry of Telecommunication, and I'm sure that our colleagues in Indonesia will have a very interesting discussion on the local developments and the local cooperation when it comes to digital policy issues. I will just open the floor for a few questions before we switch from this regional to a local context for a few questions here in the room in Geneva and online. Do you have, Emanuele, do you have any question comment? Okay. We have one question comment here. Our colleague from the UN High Commission for Human Rights. Could you introduce yourself?
Yes. Thank you. My name is Hernan Vales from the UN Human Rights Office. I have a question for Marília and Luca in Brazil. It wasn't clear to me these changes that you mentioned about the Marco Civil, are they amendments to the law or are they secondary implementing legislation?
Thank you very much for your question. The law is actually approved. It was approved on the occasion of Net Mundial in 2014. What happens is that particularly two provisions need to be further regulated. So there is a general principle of network neutrality, but now the consultation is about how this principle is going to be more clearly scoped and defined, and what are the limitations that should apply to it. So it's a much more technical discussion in a way, but it's interesting to see that Brazilian society is very involved, even though the topic has become much more technical. So we are discussing the concept of specialized services, for instance, and what should be understood by specialized services.
Yes, indeed, the hello, Hernan, hello, everyone. Indeed, the purpose of this new consultation is to define the regulation that will specify the law. So to provide a little bit more of context, the Marco Civil is a principal law and explicitly delegated to the presidency of the Republic the definition of some exceptions, some cases in which the net neutrality principle will not be applied because discriminatory treatment of internet traffic is allowed. So the current consultation is indeed to define which of these exceptions could be deemed as reasonable and could be used as a criteria by the telecom regulator in order to monitor the current implementation of the Marco Civil. So what is also interesting to highlight and is that since the participatory development of the Marco Civil, these participatory governance patterns as set a minimum standard. So right now in Brazil, society at large expects to have participatory discussions and consultation when it comes to the definition of regulation or law regarding the internet.
Thank you. Thank you, Luca. I think with this comment and question, we can close our integrated briefing and then move to the local dynamics. In Jakarta, I guess around dinner, it's 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. In Rio, it is breakfast, it's early morning. In Geneva, it's midday, 1 o'clock. We have a group of College of Europe students, 100 students coming to for a discussion on internet governance and digital policy. Once more, special thanks to our newcomers, the friends in Jakarta, and Minister Rudinantra for his support for organizing the first session of Jakarta Hub. We are looking forward for the new hubs, which will be introduced in March, and continuing this discussion on the global, regional, and local level. Have a good evening and good day, good evening in Jakarta and good day in Rio, and we are looking forward to seeing you at the end of March. All the best. Bye-bye.